church? That walk-on song, strong. I like that. This morning, we are actually talking about firm foundations in the family household, okay? So the household, the family, building that firm foundations. We're going to be in Colossians 3, so if you're someone who likes to look in an actual Bible, you can open up to Colossians while I get us started here. But a little behind the scenes, I'm going to pull back the curtain a little bit for you all. Once a month-ish, Kaz and I sit down and we jockey for position on who's going to get what sermons, right? Actually, he usually says, here they are, which one do you want, right? Which is really gracious of him. But this time, this passage that we are going to address today starts out with, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. And Joey happened to be in the room this time because he was preaching this sermon series. And both of them were like, not it. I was like, oh, good. I've been ready for this for a long time. You know why? Because I have heard this passage preached a lot, and usually it stops right there. I feel like I haven't heard all the other verses, but there's a lot there. And even before I got married, I thought, well, this isn't really for me because I'm not married yet. I don't have children. So this really isn't for me. But over the last 16 years, as I've leaned in to marriage and this passage of scripture, I missed a lot while I was single. Because there is a lot here. It is for the whole household. It is not just about the wives submitting to husbands. So I was actually 35 before I got married. So I had like 12 years of doing ministry and counseling with people for 12 years before I got married. And for those 12 years, I feel a little bit like Paul. Like I could be like, just here it is. Here it is. These are the facts. This is the way you do family. All right? Go get them. Right? When I got married, I would sit in those counseling sessions, and this would be me now. Mm-hmm. 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 I felt like I had no answers anymore. I had to. Yeah. I mean, you really have to go back to the scriptures once you get married because it's hard. It's hard work for everyone in the family, not just the wives. Everybody has to be all in when it comes to building that firm foundation on Jesus Christ. Building your household is significant, but you have to do it the way Christ has called us to do it, not the way we want to do it. So before we dig in, because this is hard stuff, I'm going to pray for us. God, this morning I ask that you would teach us, that we each would listen. And whether we're a spouse or a child, a parent, an employee or a boss, I ask God now that you would enlighten us this morning and that we would be transformed this morning to be more like you. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. So here's the main premise. You ready? Then you can fall asleep. And in fact, it was real warm over at the Arlington campus. I did put a couple to sleep. So I'm going to just tell you, right, here's what I'm getting at. Number one, get over yourselves, okay? All y'all, get over yourselves. That's basically what Paul is saying here. He's like, get over yourselves. This isn't about you. It's about Jesus. Yes. He's the boss. He's the one in charge. He's the one we are actually submitting to. So now, if you need a nap, feel free. But I'm going to dig into Colossians for those of you who are fresh as a daisy and came to learn and you're ready. So let's open up to Colossians 3, and I'm going to start at verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as fitting to the Lord. Here ends the reading. That's usually how it goes. I don't mean to be rude. I've heard it a lot at weddings and preached on Sunday mornings, and that's kind of where it stops. It's almost like wives do this. And I think it's because we didn't understand the cultural significance here. You know what's significant in the culture then? Wives knew that. They were living by the submit to your husbands every single day. That was not surprising to them. Now we kind of find it surprising, like, oh my gosh, submit to someone else. I am my own person, right? But then those wives were like, yes, of course, I submit to my husband. Here's the shocking part. As is fitting in the Lord. That was the surprising part. Because prior to that, it was about as fitting to your husband. Whatever your husband wants, whatever your husband needs, whatever the husband commands, that is what you do. So this piece about suddenly being given the freedom to follow the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords instead of just that guy in your house flipped everything upside down, and everybody had to think differently all of a sudden. This is big news. And I think Joey and Pastor Kaz have said this over the last 2 weeks. If you are getting a letter from Paul, you're probably not doing it right. You kind of don't want a letter from Paul. I mean, I'm glad we have a letter from Paul because he's telling us how to do it right, how to get it right. And what he's saying is you are doing everything unto the Lord, not just to the husband. Okay, on to the husbands. Isn't this refreshing? We're moving on to the husbands. Okay, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Okay, this one, again, is flipping the script in that culture at that time. Husbands at that time were allowed to be harsh, and they really didn't necessarily love their wives. Their wives were considered property at that time. And so this is something that they had not heard of before. To love your wife? I'm very confused by this. But actually, it gives me great excitement when I see this in Scripture and our culture today. Husbands actually believe this. Some people are like, oh, our culture, they're so out of whack. Husbands actually want to love their wives, and they actually don't want to be harsh with them. Shh, don't tell them. They're living the way Jesus wants us to. It's exciting. We have hope for the culture today because this is how they think about life. It's good. Ephesians 5:25 puts it this way. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Wow. Okay, so I'll definitely pick the submitting, right? Because husbands are called to give their life up for their wife, to be willing to die. And he doesn't mean just take a bullet for them, like jump in front and take the bullet. It means their whole life. Like, give up your life for your husband. But Paul is also talking in Philippians, which is really good, and he says all relationships. He's talking about all relationships, and I think it's really helpful for us to understand this as we look at this relationship between the husband and wife, but it's also for all relationships. It says in Philippians 2:5-8, your relationships with one another should have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. He got over himself. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death and even death on the cross. This is how Jesus is asking us to do family. We are to love one another and give up, be humble with one another in our families. And here, he's talking about the whole family, which would include the people that are hired hands. They were a part of this family dynamic, which we'll get to in a little bit. To me, if we can't hold that in context of what it was then, it's hard to understand it now because we're putting our own context on it instead of what it was then. So we really have to think about what was it like then and what was he really saying to us now. He is talking to us as well, but we have to remember how it was then to be able to understand that. So husbands are asked to be loving towards their wives, lay down their lives for their wives. And I've heard people say, happy wife, happy life, which always caused me to cringe because, again, it feels like if she's happy, then we're all happy. But the reality is, it's about that mutual love and care and respect and submission to one another that have the most healthy marriages when they are doing that well. There's mutual respect, but there's also mutual obligation. There's mutual joy and mutual misery as well, because you're doing it together. If anybody's been married for 15, 20 minutes, you know. You get it all in marriage. At my last job, I had this amazing assistant. She was really good, but she was in her 30s, and so I was like related to her. She's single, and she's living the life, right? But every once in a while, we'd have these deep conversations about singleness versus married life. And one day, she's like, you know, I don't have to get married, but it really would be nice to have somebody care for me. And I was like, oh, I remember feeling that way. And then I said, and I wish someone had told me this. You will now be caring for two people, yourself and that other person. And my husband has that same obligation. He has to keep himself going and me, right? That mutual care for one another means double the care. And I remember also before I got married, I'm like, oh my gosh, I cannot wait to have two salaries. This is going to be amazing. But you know what he was thinking? I can't wait to have two salaries. You know what happens when you have a salary and then you want to spend someone else's and the other person is that's why they say for richer and for poorer when you do the vows. Because you're like, I'm about to be richer, and then you're about to be poorer because someone else is also spending that money out of that same pot. So another thing that I learned when I got into marriage was that this really surprised me. I know this sounds really conceited, but I thought I was a nice person. And it's not that my husband thinks I'm not a nice person, but I realized really quickly I only hung out with people when I was in a good mood. Guess what happens in marriage? They're there all the time. I am not a morning person. So every morning I wake up grumpy. He, on the other hand, is very, very not grumpy. He's very happy. And I actually wake up 3 hours early to be with you all. I gotta have some coffee. I've gotta be silent and quiet and get my Jesus. Because I'm not a nice person. I didn't know that until I got married. And I need to walk the dogs. I need to just be still for a couple of hours every morning before I can go out and be nice. My husband, this is when he wants to chat. And this is where it comes in handy. Wives, submit to your husbands. So we chat. And if I'm grumpy, you know who I'm being grumpy unto? The Lord. It shifts for me. When I got married, I realized that when I am mean to my husband in the morning, when I am not listening to my husband in the morning, it's like I'm not listening to the Lord. I'm not allowing God to speak to me as I'm working to be present to my husband. When we love one another and we submit to one another, it is as if unto the Lord. And so when you're feeling that, remember that it's not that person only. It is God that we are respecting, that we are loving, that we are submitting to. So I was a pastor in the past, not just at this church. I was at another church, and the Ephesians passage about submitting came up as one of the things that the pastor was preaching on. And I happened to be the pastor that was following him with, you know, like the wrap up at the end and the benediction. And he started out in Ephesians 5:22, and he said, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as to the Lord." And then he gave his own commentary about how nowhere in Scripture does it say anywhere that there should be mutual submission. And I was like, oh, in my Bible, verse 21, the one right before it, says, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." And I was like, oh boy. I got to step up on this stage. And you know what the hard part was? Not submitting. It was actually that I didn't feel like I could be authentic to what God was saying in the scripture. He said it very clearly, and it was hard in that moment. But the good news was I had already started candidating here, and I was like, the Lord has spoken. And so I respectfully benedicted the congregation and went on. But that's the trickiness of submitting to the Lord and these relationships. You're navigating very real relationships, as well as you're constantly seeking to serve the Lord. But when we serve the Lord and we are mutually submitting and loving one another along the way, what we are actually doing is we are inviting the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us. So it's the Holy Spirit that's doing that hard work, right? So every morning, the Holy Spirit is working on me because I need to be nice in the morning to my husband. I need to submit to him. I need to love him. I need to care for him. The great part about having a morning person husband is the coffee is made when I wake up. The laundry's in the washer when I wake up. The garbage is taken out, and he's happy as a clam. That mutual relationship is good, but it's also hard along the way. All right, so we got the husbands, we got the wives, now we're going to move on to the children. So all of us at one point were children in a household, and some of us have children in a household. So let's hear what Paul has to say about this. Verse 20 says, "Children, obey your parents in everything." Oh, that would be so nice, wouldn't it? "For this pleases the Lord." Wouldn't it be nice if you could just say that to your children? "For this pleases the Lord." Would you please just be obedient? Good, of course, for children to be obedient and to do whatever at what their parents say to do as fitting to the Lord, right? You know, we want to be following God. If the whole household is following God, this is going to be a good thing. It's going to be an amazing thing. But again, I'm going to go back to the context here. What we need to see is actually that both genders are represented here. We probably never noticed that before. But back in biblical times, the oldest son would eventually become above the mom, because the mom was just considered property, a part of the way things were. And so this young man who is going to inherit everything, he would rise up above her. And so here it's saying to both genders, children, love or obey your parents, plural, not just one of them. Obey your parents. And so we have to like consider that huge, again, flip of how the family was run. When I was studying psychology, they told us, like, here's the biggest thing. You'll get in family dynamics when there's a divorce or a separation. This oftentimes happens. One of the spouses pulls a child up into the adult relationship and tells them way too much about what's going on. and then the family dynamic is really unhealthy. So no matter what, God is saying the parents should be a united front. They should be the bosses. Good cop, bad cop, equal, right? They should both be the ones in charge. There shouldn't be this child getting pulled up into that role that becomes above one of the adults. So a healthy family, the parents are a united front. They're doing life well together as they raise the children. And then the children obey the parents. Be a great summer, wouldn't it? All right. Now we're getting back to the fathers again here. All right, verse 21. "Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged." Again, I'm going to go to our current culture. Most of the dads these days want to be a part of their kids' lives. They want to encourage them. They want to love them. They don't want to embitter them. They don't want them to be discouraged. They want to cheer them on. And I see this as a huge win for our culture. that kids are being respected. Back in the day, adults, parents could do whatever they wanted, be mean to a child back at this time because they considered them less than as they were growing, and so they could be harsh with them, and they could hurt them, and they could treat them like a hired hand, because really they had taken all their their food, their housing. They had gotten all these things, and they were paying money for all sorts of things, and so they were sometimes treated this way. So it was a different way of raising children. So when this was said that you shouldn't embitter your children, this was a whole new way of thinking. Now, for the adults in the room that are currently raising children, or if you're hoping to have children someday, you actually need to reflect back on your place of origin, your family of origin, because what's going to happen when you become a parent or you are a parent? I don't even have kids, but I feel like I say this to my dogs, you know? Like, I turn into my mother, right? And I say things that I promised I would never say, right? So you have to address those issues. A lot of you in the room were raised by amazing parents who loved you and cared for you and did it the biblical way. But there's a lot in this room who were shamed and hurt along the way as they were parented. And you have to address those issues. And really, if we're all honest, there isn't a perfect parent, so there's something you got to work out from your childhood in order to be able to become the parent that you are called to be. So you got to work that out so that you can be the best parent you can be. That firm foundation where you're putting God first and doing it the way that God's calling you to do it. All right, are everybody's nerves shot? Because I was addressing this, you know, submission thing and then address your issues. Guess what? Slavery. Another easy subject for us to tackle this morning. So when Kaz and Joey said, I'm out, I was like, oh, I didn't know this. Yeah, I didn't even think this is going to be hard. But what I want us to see is the cultural significance here as well. I also want us to see it as bosses and employees, because the way that that slavery was at this time was different than the way we have experienced it in the more recent days. I am not advocating for slavery, but what I am saying is when we look at this, we can look at it as a boss and an employee, because it was like that. So in biblical times, people would sell themselves into a situation because they were born into poverty and they wanted out. It was their way out, so they would sell themselves into a family and they got to be a part of the family. We can see that because it says that this is instructions for a Christian household. So they were living with the family, they were fed, and they were a part of the family community, and they had housing. And it was oftentimes better than if they had stayed in their own family of origin because of the poverty, right? So this was them selling themselves into this. Most of them were emancipated by age 30. They could own property, they could be married, they could be a part of things. They also did not have to commit a crime. If their boss said, you have to commit a crime, they're like, no, I will not, and they didn't have to. It was not based on race. It was also, if they were being mistreated, they could leave and go to a third party. Okay, so they could shift and be out of it. So a little bit different than the way that we in more modern days have heard about it. Okay. So think about it this way. We're talking about employees and bosses. Maybe like a nanny or an au pair that would live in your house. You can think of it that way. Sometimes that's a bad situation. My guess is there was a bad situation because Paul is writing to them, right? He's like, you got to get this better, this straight. So here's what it says. Slaves, employees, obey your earthly masters in everything, your earthly bosses in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you, incurring their favor, but with sincerity of heart, with reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you have a master in heaven. Paul is leveling the playing field. And we can assume that everybody's in the room, that the hired hands are in the room at this time. The bosses are in the room, and he's saying everyone is equal. God shows no favoritism. The boss isn't better than the hired hand. He's saying it is a level playing field. Everybody is in the room together and loved equally, and you need to start respecting each other if you are not doing so. A big piece of what we can think about today is a lot of us are employees and a lot of us are bosses. And so when you think about the way that you are doing your employed life or your boss life, we can look at this passage of scripture. Ephesians 6 talks a little bit more about it in a few ways that's helpful. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eyes are on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one of you for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free, and masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. It is important, if you are an employee, to serve as if you are serving God, to work as if God is watching you. Because guess what? He knows what your job description is, and he knows how much you get paid. So Jesus can see your every move. And so if you are not working to your job description, Jesus knows that. And he also knows how much you're getting paid, and so you are working unto him. Same if you are a boss and you are a tyrant. You shouldn't be. You should be working as unto the Lord. You are becoming equals with that person and having good conversations, healthy conversations, as unto the Lord. Because when we become bad bosses, we are being bad bosses to Jesus. When we are bad employees, we are bad employees to Jesus. When we are shortchanging our bosses, we are shortchanging God. We are not just shortchanging the person that we think is not the person that we should be pleasing. So we can know that both the boss and the employee are in the room, because Philemon, a little tiny book, is in Scripture. It talks about he's an owner, he's a boss, and he is in the room, but he's also talking to Onesimus, who is also in the room when it comes to the congregation, how the congregation is loving one another. Philemon 17 says this, "So if you consider me a partner," this is Paul talking, "welcome him as you would welcome me." So Onesimus had spent some time with Paul, and then he's sending him back to this congregation, and he says, "Treat him like you would treat me." This is like flipping the script, right? That's an employee. Paul's a great leader, right? We should be treating this hired hand the same as a great leader. And Paul went on even further, and he says, when Onesimus comes back to you, if he owns you, if he owes you anything, like if he hasn't been emancipated yet, I'll pay for the rest of it. I'll pay it out. And that's what God is saying to us. Are you willing to get over yourself, whoever you are? We all have our thing, right? We're all holding our stuff. Are you willing to get over yourself and give it all to God and give Him our attention, our time, our heart in how we live and how we serve each other? Because whatever we do is serving God, not ourselves or that boss. And a lot of you might be thinking, well, it sure would be nice to have a nice boss, great employees, obedient children, a spouse that is like our warrior next to us. But Paul is saying, even when we don't have teamwork, we are still called to serve Him. And this is the promise he gives. The Lord will reward each one of you for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. There is no favoritism. Praise the Lord, with God, there is no favoritism. No matter who we are and our societal status, Christ died for each one of us equally. He loves each one of us equally. And this passage is all about realizing that mutual submission, that mutual equality, that mutual privilege that we all have when we follow Christ. Let's pray. God, we know that this was a hard passage to walk through, but we're thankful that you walked with us. We're thankful that you long for us to build strong family foundations. We ask that you would empower and equip this group of people to be the people that you've called us to be, no matter if the people around us are doing their part. We want to do ours, and so we ask, God, that you would empower us, that you would equip us, and that you would strengthen us to be able to follow you and turn our hearts completely towards you. In your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen.